Hi, everyone. Okay, thanks so much. I really enjoyed that, Jenna. Tonight, I thought I would share something about grace. It seems like a timeless topic. Matchless, unbounding grace that turns the orphan into a child of God. Grace that means that those that were enemies of God can be welcomed into his family. Grace that means that the power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us. Grace that means that access to the God who created the universe, who put every star in its place and knows every hair on our head, has been broken down so that we can have a relationship with him. Whenever I think of grace, there's a hymn that comes to mind. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. This hymn was written in 1758 by a 22-year-old. As soon as I learned that, I had to think, what was I doing when I was 22? The answer was eating Cocoa Pops on the couch watching cartoons. I regret nothing. But when I think about that phrase, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. This grace that gives us access to this God who is all powerful. But what I really wanted to reflect on was, what happens when we know that this God is all powerful? We know that he's the creator of the universe. We know that he has power to end all suffering, end all pain. We know that he is all loving. We know that he is the one who closed the mouths of lions. We know he's the one who split the sea. We know he's the one who made the lame walk, the blind see. And we know he's the one who conquered the grave. But yet, it doesn't quite match up with our lived experience anymore. What happens when we know that this is the God of the universe, and yet we still struggle to trust him? And that was my experience and what I thought I wanted to share, because that's far too often the prevailing one, that I know how good God is. That the question isn't whether he is good and just and righteous and whether he is loving and caring, but somehow my heart still doubts. That same hymn goes on to say, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. This may be the wisest 22-year-old I've ever met or I've ever read. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That this feels a lot more accurately the state of my heart. That even though I know the work of grace in my life, even though I know what God's done, my heart still wanders away from God. I still want to run away from him. I still don't want to obey. I still struggle to trust. Even though, exactly what reason do I have not to trust him when he's given his life for me? And then I come to church and I sing about the magnificent things that God has done. And I know that he's broken the chains that have bound me. And yet I still feel trapped when I go into life on Monday. And how do those two worlds meet? How does an all-loving, forgiving, good God have a completely broken follower in his family? And how does that follower not realize straight away that, no, but you aren't broken. The Lord is there. You are an overcomer. No matter what you go through, you'll be okay. But that's not what it feels like. My fears overwhelm me. Things get too much. And I'm left feeling ashamed and scared. Ashamed that I'm struggling in the first place because I know how good God is. Afraid to come to him and tell him of my suffering because, well, you know how it is. We always find the very best reasons why we can't come to God. Sometimes they're quite eloquent, like, look, Lord, I knew if I came to you, you know, I would really break. So I can't come to you now, but I will get to you eventually. I will come before you, but not right now because I'm still holding it together. And if I come to you, I feel like you're going to open up everything and I don't know what's going to happen then. It's not you that I'm doubting, it's me. I don't think I can handle it if I let everything go and you just release everything. It's like, so I can't completely come to you now, Lord. But I know that you love me and I know that you're in control. But right now, I'm just holding it together enough, just enough. Or perhaps it's, Lord, you've shown me grace before. Lord, I'm coming to you with the same thing that I came to you for 5 years ago. Somehow I feel like I'm doing the same mistake again. How on earth can you forgive me when it seems like I haven't learned anything? It's like being given a second chance at work and then going back to your boss and saying, I still have no idea what I'm doing. And wondering why you're still in the job in the first place. That actually, the idea of grace came, well, was brought home to me during one of our redemption groups 7 years ago at Jubilee. These are groups that get together and basically suffer together and pray to God for help. And someone in the group, when I was mentioning a particularly difficult time in my life, and I mentioned to them, look, I don't know how to come to God with this. And he said to me, you don't understand grace. I was outraged. I had been a Christian for 7 years at this point. So it's like, excuse me. I know, grace saved me. Thank you, but no thank you. And I look back now and he had no idea how right he was. I still don't have no idea how right he was. Because I think back to just a few months ago, the month of July was a particularly difficult month for me. I was struggling quite severely with anxiety. I needed to go to several doctor's appointments and I was on a lot of medication. I couldn't work, I couldn't sleep. I was put on mandatory leave from work and I wasn't able to come to God with all this. And the Holy Spirit showed me grace. When I got a phone call from a message from Danielle Fraser, actually, saying that just felt you in my heart. So I don't know what that's about, but thought I'd just check in. And for some reason, I decided to be honest. I have no clue why. I was doing really well denying myself. And the week after that, when I came to church on Sunday morning, Dave Fraser, Danielle's husband. Danielle, who's just recently had a birthday. She's turned 28, I believe. don't know why the laughter, but okay. Dave Fraser came up to me and he asked, how am I doing? The thing is, growing up in church all your life, sometimes that feels like a closed-ended question where actually I'm supposed to present the best version of myself. Because we're in church, right? Because God is good. So I need to tell you that, you know what, no matter what's happening, God is in control. What I can't tell you is I'm a complete mess and I don't know how I'm still standing. And I said to Dave, I'm okay. He then hugged me tightly and said one of the sweetest words I'd ever heard. Liar. Which, if you know me, is even more impactful. And in that moment, it wasn't just Dave speaking. It was an experience of the Holy Spirit wrapping his arms around me and not saying anything. When I think about God's response to me, when I think about that idea of, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. I think of Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Very cheerful. And he remembers that we are dust. He knows how we're formed. You see, when I was reflecting on this, and this actually came up quite a bit in my own counseling experiences as a counselee, I wouldn't have the insight to give this as a counselor. But the idea of a father having compassion on a child who's suffering, that I was looking at my suffering, my brokenness, as in spite of the fact that I am broken, God saved me and God has produced the change. But actually, that doesn't quite track with what I read in scripture. Because here it's saying that because of the fact that God knows I am broken, because of the fact He knows I am weak and that I suffer, He is drawn to me. It is not in spite of our suffering that God is drawn to us. It is because of it. When we look at grace, sometimes we turn it into a moment instead of a relationship. That grace is a once-off thing rather than something we need to go back to the Lord every single day for. He gives us sufficient grace for the day. So tomorrow, when our burdens come back and our anxieties are almost afresh and new with us, and we wonder, it's like, but I asked for grace yesterday. Yes, you did, for yesterday. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily may we begin straying to be reminded that God has asked us and called us into a relationship. And usually the problem is that we've created all the excuses why we can't come to Him and all the barriers that we've put in place as to why we can't access this grace, why we can't know this grace, why we can't be broken in the hands that hold us together. And may we know that grace today, may all of us know that grace, the grace that allows us to be broken in the hands that hold us together. Let me pray for us and then Robin will come up to close. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your matchless grace, Lord. Thank You for the grace that pursues us even when we run from You, Lord. Thank You for this grace that not only gives us life, Lord, but gives us sustainability for that life, Lord. Gives us strength daily, Lord, to keep serving You, to keep honoring You, to keep glorifying You, Lord. Thank You that You've called us into a relationship with Your grace, Lord, not a moment of Your grace. Thank You that we can be broken in the hands that hold us together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.